Welcome to Leader with Pastor John Bailey. I'm so glad you're with us today. Last week, our guest was Pastor Lee Shipp from First New Testament Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, down in Cajun country. And he is back with us today. We're going to do a part two. And today we are going to talk about this idea. Last week, we talked a lot about understanding the gospel of grace and the grace of God. Well, today we're going to talk about really having a true love for holiness in the church as well, because it's not an either or. It's not like either you're a grace church or a holiness church. Now, legalism is different, either grace church or legalistic church. But listen, truly, when you're walking in the grace of God, it should produce a holiness. That's a righteousness. It's not a righteousness of the flesh, but of the spirit. And so today we're going to talk about having that context where both of those at work. It feels like sometimes, Pastor Lee, that some people either gravitate towards grace or holiness, but really the power of those two things is when they work together. Welcome today. I'm so glad you're here. But why don't you just talk a little bit about this understanding of what is it, first of all, the grace of God, and then the outworking of that produces the holiness of God.
Yeah. Hey, John, it's good to see you, and thank you for having me on the program again. I think it would be good if we defined grace from the Greek dictionary. So when we see the word grace in the New Testament, what is it actually saying? Because I believe a lot of times people get off on the concept of grace because we have a preconceived idea of what it means. And we've probably heard it said, I'm sure you've heard this, that God's righteousness at Christ's expense, or this attitude that, hey, you can sin, we're under grace, it's okay, God just pats you on the back and says it's going to be all right. But that is really not the determination of grace in the new covenant. It does have that mercy in it and that redemption in it, but really, this is what it says. I think this is beautiful. Grace, this is the Thayer definition. Grace is that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill, loving kindness, favor. So it works it out. It says this. Grace is the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps them, strengthens them, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of Christian virtues. And so that, to me, that definition is like, hallelujah. I mean, if grace is that, where it is God, his divine influence on my life to bring me to Christ, to convict me, to give me the ability and the desire to pursue him, to walk with him, and God is doing this work, I'm like, hey, that's what I need. I need grace. You know, it's not just, grace is not, I need God to ignore my sin. No, I need God to work in my life to make me like Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it's like in John, when, I believe it's 17, where Jesus says, hey, just as I have loved you, love one another. And you go, it's beautiful. That sounds great. There is no way in my ability that I have the capacity to even get close to loving people the way that Jesus loves people without the grace of God. So there is this element. Yeah, that
it says forgive one another as God forgave you. Who could do that?
In ourselves we can't. And we thank God that there is an element that covers our sin, that our righteousness is in Christ alone. We can't earn that. We can't be good enough. But at the same time, there is this covering element. But the greatest understanding of grace is to go, now I'm becoming more and more like Christ. And we know we're going to grow into that. We will never completely arrive. I think the Bible says that one day when we see him as he is, we'll be like him. But from here to there, we have this journey of growth. But if we don't both have the understanding that grace covers our sin, and then the understanding that the grace of God conforms us into who Jesus, into the likeness of Jesus, you really misunderstand grace, which is what a great definition that you just gave to us.
Yeah, I love it. And I affirm that. I mean, you know, Paul said, I think I referred to this last week, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then he said, and his grace was not given to me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. But it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. So I think you're exactly right. This grace of God is transformational. And it is that which conforms us to the image of Christ, but it can be neglected. It can be taken in vain where we don't exercise ourselves by the grace of God. I would just say that Christ in you is the hope of glory. For the Bible to tell me to forgive as God has forgiven me, I can only say your life in me is the possibility of doing that. You living in me, Jesus in me, is the possibility of that.
No, that's it's beautiful. And at the same time, we can go, boy, it sounds so daunting. And yet when we understand both the covering power of sin and the empowering aspect of the grace of God. So let me ask you a practical question. So you pastor church, beautiful, amazing church, and you got great people there, but I can only guess. I just walk in and kind of see all the beautiful, smiling faces. Probably not everybody's beautiful, smiling all the time, every day, every week. So I would probably say you have challenges with people who struggle with areas of sin. And so here's what I want to ask you. So, you know, last week we settled, hey, you moved me from legalism, God, to grace. You have a church that's filled with the grace of God, but you still have people that have broken lives that are going through difficulties. If you can, maybe describe for people that are listening. It's just a discussion, but so how do you deal with people? I'm going to give you three areas with pastors, with people who are in leadership, and then just general people in the congregation, as you begin to engage people with the faults and the difficulties and the sins and the compromise, how do you go, hey, we believe in the grace of God, but now we also want holiness, not a legalistic set of rules, but holiness is becoming more and more like Christ, into the fullness of Christ. So how do you navigate through that as a pastor and leader?
Prayerfully. Very prayerfully, and through the Word of God. I recognize and would treat these individuals as God's children. And so I want to get them to their Father. Hebrews 12 tells us that God is our Father, right? And that He chastens us. He knows how to do it. And if we're not under the chastening of the Lord, then we're illegitimate children. So if people are living, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and they're living in sin, and there's no conviction, there's no chastening of God, I would question if they're even born again. So my desire is through the Word of God to get people to Jesus, even if it's a pastor or if it's a leader in the church or some just a member of the church. The treatment, there's expectations that are different for all of us, right? I mean, if we're a minister, you know, I mean, Paul writes to Timothy and Titus, there are certain things that we have to be aware of, so that there's a high calling on our lives, but it's only achievable by the grace. And that God, we trust the Lord to do that. He's called us. If God wants us to serve his people, I just think there's a greater measure of God's power, which we call the anointing, that he puts us in this office. He's with us in a greater capacity to help us do that. And so we have to receive that from God. But at the end of the day, my desire is to get them to the Father, to come to them in the Word of God and share the Word of God with them. This behavior is not acceptable to God. This is sinful. This is wrong. This is what the Word of God says. And we're not going to condone what God has said is offensive to Him. And so we need to deal with this. I don't want to deal with it in a way to hurt you or to ruin you or to wreck you. I want to deal with it in a way where there's redemption. But we gotta bring this to the Lord. And if that heart is rebellious and calloused and it's just like, you know, I'm not going to do this, there would be harder measures that we have in the New Testament where there has to be discipline. There may have to be church discipline where we have to deal with that. But the heart we have to have is redemption. So if I go to a leader or something, you know, it could be a situation where they're disqualified. Could be.
Sure.
And so I think even in that heart that is being humbled by God, it doesn't mean they're cast away and they're to live their life in shame. I think the love of God would come through our life, would bring redemption to them, and they would still have a beautiful testimony.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't serve in the capacity they did. There would be a beautiful testimony in their life. They wouldn't live in shame. But, you know, none of us are at a place in our life where we're not convicted about something. And so
Amen.
To do to other people as I would want them to do to me, I would assume would be my approach, because he says in Hebrews that God is our Father. He chastens those that belong to him, and he does it so that we would be partakers of his holiness. And so I trust the Lord to chasten and deal with his children in whatever measure he allows somebody to be exposed to me that's in sin. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it with the Word of God. I'm going to deal with it by bringing them, like, we need to go to God with this, and we need to do what the Bible says. So does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I think about when I read the scripture is Paul, we know, is the one that had this incredible revelation of God's grace. I believe the covenant that we have in Christ. And yet when he's writing in 1 Corinthians towards the end, there's a man that's living in sexual sin. The church leaders aren't even addressing it. He then rebukes and says, how are you not? And we live in a day and age right now where pastors and leaders are not calling sin, sin. Now, you know, we're talking about the guy that wrote the grace of God. So, you know, Paul certainly understands by grace through faith, and he's going, how are you not calling sin, sin? And now you have this person that you're not addressing the issues. I mean, he goes as far as saying, don't talk to him. Now, I know that's extreme, and that would be in very
few. Well, he says, excommunicate, turn them over to Satan. So their soul would be saved.
So their soul would be saved, but there is an ultimate desire for God's grace, right?
Right. Absolutely. And in chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, the boy has repented, and now the church is having a hard time letting him back in. And Paul says, no, he's repented. This is what we wanted. Let him back in. I would say in regards to that, in the grace of God, the grace demands more. So the law is like, do this and live. Don't do this and die. But grace is believe. And so Jesus, when he's promoting his covenant, he said, you've heard it said that a man is not to commit adultery. But I say, if a man looks with lust in his heart, then he's committed adultery. Or you've heard it say, don't murder. But I say, if you have hate in your heart without cause, then you have committed murder. So, you know, when we all understand the law, you know, driving a car and the speed limit says, you know, 70 miles an hour, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to go 72. And you have this law that's trying to constrain your behavior. But in my heart, I want to go 80. You know, I want to go.
On a good day, you're going 72, right?
But grace goes to the heart, right? Mm. And so it's not just saying abstain from murdering that person, but grace says, no, I want to change the hate that's in your heart.
No, this is very good. And I think the reason that Jesus says that is they're turning in Matthew, when he's talking about these things, it's turning from this law-based righteousness comes by keeping the law to the spirit-based new covenant, this walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's trying to bring this idea, because when he says, if a man looks after a woman and lusts in his heart, it's a sin. Listen, the only way you can do that, you better have the Holy Spirit. And it's and there's still a struggle, and it brings a humility, and you know you're dependent on Christ. But if I would just say this, we're living in a time now, and I think it's the danger, is that a lot of times as pastors and leaders, we'll talk about the grace of God. But man, you go to churches today, they don't talk about heaven, they don't talk about hell, they don't talk about righteousness, they don't talk about Jesus coming back. It's just everything is know your destiny, know your future, you know, and make sure you love your neighbor. All of those things are good. But in the absence of a message of the holiness and the work of the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that to mix with the message, it turns into being a false gospel.
Right. That's exactly right. Because the Holy Spirit is going to proclaim and exalt Jesus Christ, and he's going to call men to Jesus. He's going to deal with our life. He's going to deal with things that are going on in our life. And he's going to bring us to Jesus. He's also going to encourage us and lift us up. He's going to preach about heaven. He's going to preach about hell. He's going to preach about this culture, because he wants to save the culture. He's not going to condone the behavior that you said it earlier in this way, but Paul said that, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, if any man's a drunkard, if any man's a fornicator, if any man's an idolater, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're living in a culture that says, hey, affirm my behavior. And the Holy Ghost is like, no way. I'm here to give you a new life, a new heart, a righteous and holy lifestyle, not to affirm sin and tell you it's okay.
So I'm going to make a statement, and I want to get your response to this. So listen, is this true? You can only understand the grace of God if you understand the power of sin, what sin is, and the fact that the depth of the sin in your life, that you can never truly understand God's grace and kindness if you don't understand the depth of the sin that you've come out of. Because I think that sometimes pastors want to go, oh, just say a little prayer, and oh, I love Jesus, and we're going to baptize you, and you're good. But listen, if you don't have a revelation that you're a sinner, you can never fully understand the grace of God. True or not?
Yeah, true. I would say that. I would say that. But I would say, because that's what happened to me, right? The revelation of that grace was when God showed me, I'm going to deal with you. And as God began to deal with me, I had to cleave to him. I had no hope but this Savior. And so I would say that sanctification is a growing in grace. It's growing in that understanding. It's growing because, you know, I've heard it said, and I wouldn't disagree with it, but as Paul's life was progressing, you know, he would say, I am the least of the apostles, you know, but I'm an apostle. And then he grows and he says, I'm the least of the saints, you know. And then as he gets to the end of his life, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. I mean, he just realizes that there's nothing good in me. So I would say most of the sanctification is not me trying through myself to be more Christ-like, but it is learning what I am and who God is to me and his ability to make me like Jesus.
Very good. Now, I want you to respond to another one. So listen, if you have pastors and leaders are watching, Christian people that teach and lead, and I find that much of the body of Christ will either lean one way or the other. They'll lean to this place of, oh, the grace and the love and the mercy of God, or the holiness and the righteousness of God. And sometimes the people that lean one way can be a little legalistic. Then sometimes people that lean the other way can really not have the full gospel. And so what would you say? Because it is really when both of those are working together, when the message gets right and you understand the grace of God that produces a holiness, that is really the gospel message. God didn't save us just to leave us like we are. So if you're talking to pastors and you're going, hey, you and I have both struggled with this, how do I do them both well so that I really am reflecting the gospel message when I'm preaching and leading a congregation?
Yeah, be biblical. Just really be biblical. Teach the word, because if I could, I'd read Titus 2:11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching." So it's the grace of God that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, and looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what grace teaches us. And so a lot of times we as ministers, and I think we mean well, I think we want well, we care, we love, but sometimes we're trying to teach people how to live, you know, toe the line, live right. And I get that. We use the word to do that. But we have to have faith when we minister that God, the Holy Ghost, is going to get a hold of the people and me.
Amen.
And that the grace of God, he says in Titus 2:11, the grace of God is our teacher. This grace teaches us how to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and how to live righteously, soberly, godly in this present world. And so for me, if I see this culture, John, that is crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And the attack on our young people today. Well, I come to the Word of God and I see that, well, grace is the teacher. I pray, God, let me be a minister of this grace, because mm-hmm. I need this to teach my young people how to deny the ungodliness they're being faced with.
Amen.
Could I share this? In 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about the ministry that Paul was given. He was given a ministry of the Spirit and life. Hmm. He contrasts that to the ministry of the letter. And so the ministry of the letter brings death. But the ministry of the Spirit brings life. And he said, God made us ministers of the Spirit. So that's a miracle. It's just it's a work of God to give us that. So he goes into this explanation of the old covenant and the new covenant. And he talks about the glory of the old covenant. And he talks about glory of Moses, the glory of the old covenant. Moses, he shone with this glory, had to cover his face. But that glory was passing away. And he contrasts that with the glory of the new covenant. And the glory of the new covenant,
the greater glory.
The greater. It's so great that it makes the old covenant pale in comparison. It's like the sun, you know, it's just, and this glory is not fading away. And then he said, Paul said this, we go from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, this isn't sanctification. What Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 3 is we're going from the glory of the old covenant, which is to understand that the law was given to be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's the glory of the old covenant.
Amen.
So we go from that glory into the glory of the new covenant, by the Spirit of God. It is a revelation. And so I see this all the time when I travel, that we have, it's like there's this need after I preach that I got to put Moses in this. I've got to put the law in this to keep the people straight. And we become ministers of the letter, and it kills. And so what happens is the church drops, the attendance drops, people drop because they keep trying. Our altars are filled. The people say, I'm going to do better. And then they don't do better. And a lot of times as preachers, we justify ourselves and say, well, they just don't want the truth. Well, they want life. And the law, the letter does not give life. It gives death. The Spirit of God gives life. So I think we have to be very careful as preachers that we preach the new covenant. We could possibly kill the people. The letter's true, right? I mean, John, the letter's true. It's Bible, you know, but if it's not the new covenant, if it's not great, it's death.
This is to bring a proper understanding is to remember this. The law had a purpose, but the purpose of the law wasn't to make us righteous. If the law could have made us righteous, then the children of Israel would have found a way there. But it doesn't. The purpose of the law is to show us how weak and empty and lost and broken we are.
Yeah, amen.
And so the purpose of the law is to show us how far from God we are and how much we need him, which then leads us to the grace of God that transforms. What brings about holiness is not the law. It's the power of the Holy Spirit and the life of Christ that's conformed in us. That's what brings holiness. So if you're preaching law thinking that you're going to make people holy, it will always fail. But if you preach law to show people how weak and empty and dark and broken we are, and then you bring the understanding of now this is when you repent, when you turn to God, this is the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings holiness because it's after his presence, right?
Yeah, praise God. Beautiful. Amen. I totally agree.
Something that we both share is a great love for David Wilkerson. And I got to just say on this, David Wilkerson was probably the epitome of this, especially in those last 10 to 15 years, the understanding of the holiness of God and the place of the law and then what it is to live by grace. It literally, when I came to this understanding, it was so transformative in my life. And just for pastors and leaders that may be here, there's a book he wrote that's called It Is Finished. We do conferences around the world. We're doing one here in Colorado Springs that's on understanding the new covenant. And it's all of this, but it is both the grace of God and it's the holiness. And when you can put things properly in the place, the effect of that is a church that is walking in the power of God, where the love of God is there and lives are being transformed. Amen.
And that's exactly right. And it's beautiful. It's a wonderful place to be.
Amen. Well, Pastor Lee, can you close us in prayer? We've had two great discussions here. Thank you for being here with me. I love you as a friend. I love you as a pastor. I've seen the great work that God has done in your church. And I believe that pastors and leaders may be watching today and they're going, hey, I either need to be a little bit more leaning towards the grace and the love of God, or maybe, you know, they talk about grace and love all the time, but it's never repentance. It's never holiness. It's never the transformation power of the Holy Spirit. And they're going, hey, I need both of these functioning in my life, my preaching, my ministry, because when we get this right, that's the spiritual awakening. That's what we need in these last days is the power of God alive in the church. It's by grace, through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. When we can walk in that, good days are ahead. Amen. So would you pray for us if you would?
Yeah, John, let me say really quick what an honor it is to be with you too. And I love you so much. And I just want to say to the leaders that have watched, thank you for taking the time to be a part of this. And we pastor a church in Louisiana and we just love World Challenge. It has been a great blessing to our church. And we don't have a huge church, but I tell you, World Challenge is not just attractive to large mega churches. They care about the small and everyone in between. And so they'll be a good friend to you. Father, I thank you for the love that you have for us, God. I thank you so much for World Challenge and for John and for putting on this podcast. And Lord, these leaders that have listened to us, I pray that we would all just humble ourselves, God, and even come to you through 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and just ask you, Lord, make me a minister of the Spirit that gives life. Make me that. I don't want to do anything amiss. I want to preach your truth. I want to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to compel men and women to come to you, God, because you know how to save and you know how to sanctify and you know how to lead your people. And Father, give us the power and the wisdom of your Holy Spirit to be faithful in such an incredible calling, to have influence in your church. And I just lift all of them up to you, God. Lift John up to you and pray your blessings upon them all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Lee, thank you so much for being with us. And I want to thank you, pastors and leaders. Thanks for joining us. I want to just affirm you. The world is difficult, like Pastor Lee was saying. A lot of difficult things going on in the generation that we live in, but God has called you. God has equipped you. Thank you for joining here. We are praying that God would use you in a powerful way. Thank you for being with us today on Leader to Leader, Pastor John Bailey. If you get a chance and you can share this out with a friend, we would really be grateful. Subscribe there with World Challenge. And listen, you have a great day. God bless you. We will see you next week on Leader to Leader with Pastor John Bailey.